Welcome into Locked On Grizzlies. This is the Andre Iguodala trade special that we've been talking about for probably about a week now. I know it's been a little bit. It's just taking some time to get everything coordinated between all the different hosts, some audio and different planning. Just takes a little bit of time, but it's here now. So we're going to talk about all the teams that could possibly trade for Andre Iguodala and some just general information you need to know coming up for this trade season. All that on this episode of Locked On Grizzlies.
Pull up jump shot.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the show. First off, if you're not already a subscriber, make sure you go and subscribe to the episode. Really helps us out in the iTunes rankings. If you also leave a review, rate the show if you're an Apple person. If you are not, the show is literally anywhere and everywhere you get your podcast. So just go subscribe to it in whatever podcast platform that you're using, just so you don't miss an episode. Just episode like this, our daily conversations with Joe Mullenix and Mari Sankofa. And if you haven't already seen it on Twitter, David Cobb is actually leaving the commercial appeal, so he will no longer be on the show every week. We'll have him on from time to time as he gets into his new role at his new gig, whatever that might be. We'll have him on every once in a while just to talk Grizzlies because he's a friend of the show. But we'll be looking for a new guest to fill that Thursday slot. So look for that coming up. Hopefully we'll have that before next week. So all in all, just go and subscribe to the show so you don't miss anything at all. Let's get to Andre Iguodala and kind of just the basic premise of the trade. First of all, I went through every single trade or every single team that really pretty much could use Andre Iguodala. Now, you start to factor in people that need Andre Iguodala. He's a guy that's an expiring contract. It's really a team that they're going to potentially try to re-sign Andre Iguodala probably, but also a team that's going to have championship or finals aspirations, and they're going to look and view him as someone that can help him in that journey, in the playoffs, that type of thing, because they're getting him for half a season. You know, he hasn't played a lot, but maybe that's a good thing, especially for a guy that hasn't some age on his frame. And, you know, Father Time is always unbeaten. But either way, that's something to look out for. This, we look through every single team that we think could use Andre Iguodala. I went through them all, and I narrowed them down to several teams that we're going to talk about. And probably this is probably going to be broken up into two episodes just because it's such a long show. But I went through every single team that I thought could use Andre Iguodala and then went through those teams and seeing if it was possible. And certain teams we're going to hear from Locked On hosts, other writers about their viewpoint on the Andre Iguodala. Just if that was possible for their team, what they think about it, their opinion. So we're going to have my opinion on the trade, if there's a trade available for that team. And then we're going to get the viewpoint from the team, the guy, the people that cover the teams every single day. They obviously are in tune with the teams a lot more than we are. So you're going to get from their perspective as well. So the other thing to note about the Andre Iguodala trade before we get into them different trades and different teams is the fact that it's a hard trade to make. And we've said that on this show. It's been covered. It's a difficult trade to make in the sense that it's $17 million. Like, it's a lot of money. You don't have to come up with $17 million as a tradable asset, but you do have to come up with 85% of it, I think, and that's almost $14 million. So it's a lot of money that you just don't have lying around. So most people who are making $14 million, it's not really Solomon Hill. There's not a whole lot of contracts out there left that are big contracts that are not playing a role. So you have to take that into consideration as well, is if you're going to trade for Andre Iguodala, or if there's a team that's going to trade for Andre Iguodala, are they going to make their team worse? Like, if they're going to trade some guy that's playing 25 minutes a game that has that contract on their team that they could actually use to part with, You know, is it going to make them a better team? Is it going to make them a worse team? Is it going to be a push? It's not even going to matter. And so that's really what you have to look at as well, is not only the money, but the team giving up the asset. Is it a viable asset to get Andre Iguodala for maybe even a rental? Is that worth it to them? And so you look at that and you factor that into the equation of how many teams need a person like Andre Iguodala, how many teams, you know, are actually going to want to do that. There's, you know, half the league is already out because they're not contending. You can think about the Western Conference playoffs, and the Grizzlies are almost in the eighth seed at below 500. And there's a lot of teams wipe out almost half the Western Conference who are not going to trade for Andre Iguodala because they have no aspirations to get to the finals because they're not going to make it. And even if they did want to trade for Andre Iguodala, it'd be difficult to get there because he's going to leave after the season anyway. So there's a lot of factors like that that really make this a very compressed market for Andre Iguodala to a very select few limited teams. Now, there might be other teams than the teams we're going to talk about today, but I find it hard to believe that there will be teams outside of the ones we're going to talk about today that would make a move for Andre Iguodala. So I think if a deal comes, it's going to come from one of these teams. It could come from any other team. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to say it's an end-all, be-all, but I would be surprised. And after talking to everybody around the league, different people who cover different teams, after I've looked at it, it would be a hard-pressed deal to find something outside of these teams. That being said, let's talk about the teams that we do think would be involved with Andre Iguodala, or I came up with as players or as people, contenders that I think would be players in Andre Iguodala trade. First of all, the Portland Trailblazers, the Boston Celtics, obviously the Los Angeles Clippers has been mentioned a lot. Houston Rockets have been mentioned a lot. Dallas Mavericks, the Los Angeles Lakers, as well as the Denver Nuggets, and then the Miami Heat is the last one. And that's it. That's the list. You can maybe throw Utah Jazz in there, but after looking at it several different ways, I just don't know if they're a team that has the assets to give. I mean, they might want Andre Iguodala, but I don't know if they have the assets to give. They're a very top-heavy team in the sense that most of their contracts are in 4-5 players, and after that it gets real, real thin. They got a lot of players that are 3, 4 million, then 1, 2 million, and that's just not enough. You're not going to be able to cobble together 7 players to make that deal for Andre Iguodala. So I eliminated the Utah Jazz just based off the fact that they just don't have the assets to give. Like, they might be able to do it, but they'd have to be in a 3 or 4 team trade to be able to get him and get the Grizzlies the right assets they want back as well. So the Utah Jazz we're not going to talk about, but I just want to mention them, that I eliminated them based off of that altogether. The last thing I want to mention before we get into the actual trades is what the Grizzlies are looking for. The Grizzlies want a first round pick and possibly a young prospect to go with it from any team they're going to get, which we've seen or been reported. That's a high asking price for Andre Iguodala, and there's not a whole lot of teams that are probably willing to pay for it, which is also why they're just saying, hey, look, we're not going to buy him out. If you want him, come get him. And personally, if I were them, I would not bluff at all. I would never blink. I would just hold on to Andre Iguodala because it's really nothing. Nothing's happening. You've already won the trade. You've already got a first rounder. And if it goes, the people really want to pay for them, the deals really want to happen, they'll come get Andre Iguodala. I wouldn't blink at all, even going up until the trade deadline. I would assume they probably will. They'll probably make a deal for him since they have said that's what they're going to do. But at the end of the day, they want a first round pick and or a young prospect. Now, if it's a prospect that's a better prospect, they might be, you know, go, well, we'll take a second round pick. Or if it's a prospect that's a very raw prospect, then they might force a hand on the first round pick. But that is what the Grizzlies are looking to get in return for Andre Iguodala. Now let's talk about some of the trades that I think are probably reasonable, or I think they should go after for this Grizzlies team. The first one up is the Portland Trailblazers, and the Grizzlies should go out, and this is what I think they should ask for. It would be Kent Bazemore and the first round 2022 first round pick from the Portland Trailblazers. The Grizzlies would obviously just send out Andre Iguodala in that trade. It works because Kent Bazemore just has $19 million salary. It's a 1-year deal. He expires after this year. Really, the asset you're getting is a first round pick. Now, Kent Bazemore is not a bad defender, not a bad player, really. You're getting a decent defender, above average shooter. Ultimately, probably not a guy you're going to bring back, but if you like him, if you want to play him and you like what you see, maybe you bring him back on a much, much lower deal. He obviously signed that deal in Portland after leaving Atlanta and was a really good player in Atlanta. And I was a guy that I thought the Grizzlies should go after when he was available. So it's not like he's a bad player there. So you could give him a tryout. He's definitely a better shooting guard than probably Dylan Brooks. And so I think it's a guy that you definitely get a look to, and maybe you get a deal done in the sense that you are giving him a tryout, basically. Maybe you get a deal done in the sense that it's a much, much smaller deal in the offseason. Maybe you do want to bring him back, and maybe he fits what you're trying to do, but he's definitely a good shooter. The other deal I would look for the Trailblazers is tacking on Mario Hojonza to that. I probably butchered that last name, but he was in Orlando for a time, and now he's with the Blazers. That's what I would probably push towards if I had to do that deal, because I think that's probably the first, that's probably the raw prospect that they're looking for, and maybe they let Ken Bazemore go. Either one of those deals I'd probably do, though. You get the first rounder, you get a prospect if you got Mario Hojonza, and you get Ken Bazemore as well. I would do all those deals. I'm unsure if the Trailblazers do it. They were a team that started off the year and looking towards the finals, but they've had quite a bit of injuries to note. It's really knocked them out of the playoff race and playoffs, not necessarily out of the playoff race, but out of the finals race, out of the championship race. So that is something to note right now. I'm just not sure if they'll do it. So in terms of likelihood of getting a deal done with the Blazers, I think the Blazers are pretty low on the list, but I think it's possible. And that's really what this was about. This exercise was about to see what was possible to do for a team's perspective. Would it be easy? Is it even feasible to do from a league cap perspective as far as the monies? And are they a team that potentially might want Andre Iguodala? Now, again, I don't think they do it just for the simple fact that Andre Iguodala doesn't want to be in Portland. He wants to be somewhere on the West Coast, and I don't think it's in Portland. And he probably leaves after this year. And they're probably not in the finals, and they view that as a rental that they don't want to give up a first round pick for. I don't think they care about giving up Kent Bazemore. In fact, that might be good to get off his salary, but it's expiring as well. So there's really no benefit for them to give up Kent Bazemore and a first round pick just to get Andre Iguodala for half a year, when they're really not in a championship hunt. But let's hear from Steve DeWald, a good friend of mine, covers the Blazers for BlazersEdge.com. We'll hear from him, and then also Mike Richmond from Locked On Blazers. Both those guys, Steve DeWald will be up first and Mike Richmond after that. Let's get their opinion on what they think about the trade as well.
Hey, this is Steve DeWald with BlazersEdge.com, and I'm here to talk about how the Trailblazers went from probably a likely buyer for Andre Iguodala to a team that's probably not interested in adding a veteran that's really built to help a contender make a playoff push. And really how it kind of starts with why the Blazers were probably potentially interested at one time was the Blazers moved on from longtime perimeter defenders Maurice Harkless and Al-Farouq Aminu in the offseason. And even though they kept guys like Rodney Hood and added Kent Bazemore, those guys aren't really built to guard the big wings in the Western Conference in the playoffs. And that's kind of my basis of why Portland probably would have been interested in that, and Kent Bazemore's contract, which is also expiring, matched up kind of with what could have facilitated a deal for Iguodala. Basically, where it starts with Portland is obviously last season, losing Yusuf Nurkic at the end of the year was a massive blow for Portland. It was compounded early in this season when Zach Collins suffered a shoulder injury that's going to basically keep him out for this entire year. The defense really hasn't been able to recover since then. So now you look at the wing where you have Rodney Hood and Kent Bazemore. Rodney Hood suffers an Achilles injury, out for the year in December. So now really trading that Bazemore contract really doesn't, it's one step forward, two steps back, because now you have even less depth. And really, it just doesn't make sense. Portland's not in a position to leverage those expiring contracts of Hassan Whiteside and Kent Bazemore into a guy who's expiring and built for a playoff run. Portland probably, what it sounds like coming out of the organization, is looking to use what trade assets they have to add salary for next year. And that mainly revolves around the massive contract extensions that CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard have hitting the books. So really, their only shot to add a veteran guy who has a lot of salary really comes with these expiring contracts. And it really doesn't make a ton of sense to use that to go after, you know, a guy who's in the twilight of his career that it could still be helpful, don't get me wrong, but it doesn't really make sense to go after him. That being said, things can change. If the Blazers could find a way to add another big man and make some other moves and still have that Bazemore contract around, maybe they come back to an Iguodala trade idea, but at this point right now, I just really can't see it. If you want to see more of my writing, you can visit BlazersEdge.com or follow me on Twitter at SteveDHoops.
What's up? It's Mike Richmond from Locked On Blazers giving you Andre Iguodala trade speculation from the Northwest. The Blazers have been linked to Andre Iguodala mostly because the Blazers are a team with stuff to trade. They have expiring contracts in Kent Bazemore and Hassan Whiteside. They own all their first-round picks going forward. They've got stuff to move. Here's the problem. The Grizzlies probably want young assets in addition. They don't want salary cap relief. It's not that important to them. They're not a team that needs to stockpile cash for this summer. But the Blazers aren't willing to trade most of their young assets. I'd be stunned if they were willing to make Anfernee Simons available after they spent all summer talking about how he was the best young guard in the NBA and the best player Neil Olshey had drafted in his 15 seasons in the league. They're not going to trade Zach Collins either. Not that the Grizzlies need good young bigs. They seem to have a ton of them, but he's at least an intriguing prospect nonetheless. So the Blazers have the parts to make an Andre Iguodala trade. They've got expiring money that could match his massive contract. They've got draft picks that could entice the Grizzlies to get involved. And maybe that's enough considering his preferred destinations and what those teams have to offer. But here's why I don't think the Blazers will get involved or end up being involved, although they could desperately use someone like Andre Iguodala on this team, because they can't guard anybody. Trading for Iguodala, even getting out from under Hassan Whiteside's deal and just trading expiring for expiring, doesn't do them much good, because Andre Iguodala is not coming back to Portland. He's made it pretty clear he wants to play for a contender. He's angling to get to one of the Los Angeles teams. The Blazers aren't only not a contender, they're barely a playoff team right now. There's no real guarantee that adding Iguodala to this roster, even just alone, like if he just showed up at the practice facility and decided to join the roster, that would be good enough to get them beyond the eighth seed. Might not even get them into the eighth seed. So they're a mess. That's just their sort of state of the union. So they have the type of things that could maybe get involved. They certainly have a ton of interest skill set wise in Iguodala, but it doesn't seem like a sensible landing spot for him for a variety of reasons.
Thanks to Steve DeWald of BlazersEdge.com and Mike Richmond from Locked On Blazers. Make sure you check out their stuff. Both great guys. Really appreciate them taking the time out to send us that audio. Let's move on to the next team, the Boston Celtics. This is a team that, when you look on paper, if they're a competitor in the Eastern Conference, they're right up at the top of the standings in the Eastern Conference standings. They are second right behind the Bucks, probably about 5 or 6 wins behind the Bucks. So it's a team that I think could potentially use Andre Iguodala. But it's also a team that has a lot of young players, and unfortunately, they almost fall into the category of the Utah Jazz in the sense that I don't know what they'd be able to give to get Andre Iguodala back. Like, they got a lot of different players on their roster, but they're not going to want to package them together to put enough money in to get Andre Iguodala. Like, do they want to send out Marcus Smart? Probably not. He's a player for them. They'd probably be willing to send out Enes Kanter, but they have a lot of other players like Semi Mosley. I'd probably mess that up as well, but that only gets you to probably $9 or $10 million. You still got $3 or $4 million to go before you even get there. So you could put a package of players together. The problem is, I think when you get to their players and they rely so much on young players, especially someone like Jason Tatum, and no Jaylen Brown, those guys, they rely so much on young players, it's difficult to see them doing this deal and getting better. And what I mean by that, they seem, by the time you get done packaging all the players you would need to package together to get to a deal, that would probably make them worse, honestly. I don't think that Andre Iguodala is good enough to put them in a position to overcome the deficiencies that they'll lose by trading those players away. So could it be done? Yes. And that's why they're on this list. That's why I put them and didn't mark them off at all, because it can be done with 3 players, but I don't know if they're willing to give up those 3 players. And honestly, don't know if the Grizzlies are willing to take those 3 players without taking on some type of pick as well. Obviously, we would love the first round pick they have of ours back. That'd be great, but I don't think they're willing to give that up. And all the players, they'd be willing to have to give that up to make the money work, to make this deal work altogether. I think it'll probably make them worse. And I don't think they're probably going to be able to do that, just because it would take so much, like we mentioned in the first part of the episode. It would take so much to get to where you need to be to make the money and the cap work. And then on top of that, the Grizzlies are probably going to ask for a pick because they maybe not like the players like Enes Kanter or some others they'd have to throw in to make all that work. Either way, I got John Corrales from Locked On Celtics to give us a few minutes of his time to give us some insight from the Celtics side of things and what he thinks they might do.
Hey, it's John Corrales here from Locked On Celtics. And when I was first approached about doing this, I wondered why. Why would Boston be interested in Andre Iguodala? And then it hit me. You guys want your pick back, don't you? You want that first round pick Boston's getting. Well, I'll tell you what, you can't have it. Boston's going to keep that thing and trade it, if they want to, for something bigger and better than Andre Iguodala. And don't get me wrong, we've seen Iggy help in playoffs. We've seen him help down the stretch. We've seen him be a very useful player. Obviously a finals MVP. I don't think he's going to get back to that level, but he's rested. So there's a good chance he's going to help a contender somewhere along the way, but it's not going to be the Boston Celtics. I mean, first of all, from a fit perspective, the Celtics already have wings that can defend and they're younger. Gordon Hayward, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, those guys are all going to be out there on the floor defensively when it matters. So having Iguodala there as maybe a step slower than all of them, I just don't see him being on the floor. That's going to mean one of those guys sitting, because you'll have Kemba Walker out there, and if they go small, they'll go with Marcus Smart, who's a better defender, or they'll go with Daniel Tice or one of their centers if they want a center. So first of all, I don't see the fit. Second of all, I don't see any possible way the Celtics could trade for him because he makes $17 million. And the only way the Celtics could match that is to include Marcus Smart in a deal, and they are not going to do that. There's just no possible deal that the Boston Celtics and Memphis Grizzlies can work out to get Andre Iguodala. Maybe, possibly, somehow, through some cap machination that I'm not aware of, they could do it in a multi-team deal. But even then, I just don't think the Celtics are going to give up enough of what's necessary to get Iguodala. The only other guys that they have on the team that can match salaries are Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, who are on their rookie deals. Daniel Tice and Enes Kanter making somewhere about $5 million each, but those are bigs. And if you're going to trade your bigs, and we know that Boston has some questions on the front court and at the center position, you're going to use those to trade for a different big, an upgraded big. So you're not going to trade any of those bigs for another wing, especially a 36-year-old wing. I still like Iggy. I think he's going to do great somewhere. Unless Memphis does what everybody wants them to do, and by the way, what they shouldn't do is buy him out. But unless they buy him out, I just don't see Boston finding a way to acquire Andre Iguodala. So good luck shopping him around. He's probably going to end up somewhere else. Definitely not in Boston.
Thanks, John. I appreciate you talking with us again. That's John Corrales from Locked On Celtics. Go check out that podcast if you guys would like to talk about the Celtics, like to listen about the Celtics. John does a great job over there. Check it out whenever you have a chance. Next up on the list is the Los Angeles Clippers. This is a team that has been talked about quite a bit. It's a team that I think would actually benefit greatly from Kawhi Leonard. Andre Iguodala. He's a guy you could put on their bench. They're not getting a lot of stuff out of their bench play right now, and I think you could put him on your bench and be really, really good. And you can compete. Even if it's a thing, they just don't want the Lakers to get him. Like, maybe that's it too. But here's the deal I would look to package together for the Grizzlies from the Clippers for Andre Iguodala. Be Andre Iguodala going out, Maurice Harkless coming in, Jerome Robinson's coming in, and a 2022 second rounder. Now, this is a deal that hinges basically on Mo Harkless. Like, he's got to be in there because he makes $11 million. He's on an expiring contract, but Jerome Robinson is a young player that's not seeing a whole lot of playing time right now for the Clippers. He's on a 4-year deal, $3.5 million. Like, he's a project. This is what the Grizzlies want. Now, Mo Harkless is not a bad player at all. Let's talk about Jerome Robinson first, though. He's a young prospect. The Grizzlies would, you know, have to take your time to look at him. He's a shooting guard, 6'4". He's on his rookie deal still. He's an average defender. He's got really good shot mechanics. He really doesn't have a whole lot of time in the NBA. He hasn't really gotten the time that you think probably you want to see because he's on a contending team. A lot of times you young players just don't get the time on a contending team like you want because they're trying to win championships. They're not trying to develop young players. So that's the guy I would ask for if the Grizzlies were looking for a young prospect from the Clippers. You know, there's no really telling what he's going to be in this league, if he's even going to be a player at all. Maybe nothing. Maybe Jerome Robinson is never anything in this league. But the prospects are what the Grizzlies are looking for. That's what they're out there seeking, is young prospects to make this team better. And maybe that's something that you can take a look at in Jerome Robinson. That's probably the best prospect the Clippers have that they're willing to get rid of. They have good players, but that's probably the best one that they have that they're actually probably willing to give up. Mo Harkless is the other guy in that deal. He's only 26 years old, and he's not a bad player in his own right. Again, he's on an expiring deal. It's a lot like Kent Bazemore from the Blazers. Maybe you can re-sign him at a lower deal. Maybe you can re-sign him at a team-friendly deal. But it's not like he's an old guy that you just got to throw away. I think he's a pretty good player. He's a good shooter. He's a wing player, small forward, 6'7", good length. He's probably not taking the amount of shots he should on the Clippers because it's dominated by some different players. But if he gets in this offense with Taylor Jenkins, that changes. Then he's a player that is a shooter and takes way more threes than he probably, and way more threes than he's doing right now. So, you know, he could really make an impact on this league, on this team, in the offense. So, you know, not only you get Jerome Robinson as just kind of a prospect and raw prospect, you get Mo Harkless, who is an NBA player, has shown he's going to be effective in this league, and he's on an expiring contract. So maybe you bring him an expiring deal. If you look at him along the way, you probably don't, if nothing fits, you just move on. It's an expiring contract. You just move on. You walk away. No harm, no foul. You still get your raw prospect and you get a second rounder. Maybe they push that. Maybe they push for a first rounder. I don't know what the Clippers have to give, but I think they would do that deal in Mo Harkless, Jerome Robinson, and that second rounder. It just really depends on what they think of Mo Harkless. That's really what they're trying to value. Like, is Mo Harkless better than Andre Iguodala? I don't think so. I think that Andre Iguodala is an upgrade for them, but do they want to part with Mo Harkless and Jerome Robinson? Maybe it's Mo Harkless and a first-round pick, but I think the Clippers can do the deal. It's just, do they want to do this deal? I think the second-round pick just really gets this deal done. That's really what it sends, you know, the Grizzlies maybe saying, maybe, I don't know, into, okay, we'll do the deal. We'll get another asset out of this deal in terms of sending Andre Iguodala to the Clippers. I think it's one of the better deals the Grizzlies can make in terms of all the deals we're going to talk about today on this show. I think it's one of the better deals that could potentially make with the Clippers and asking for those couple of guys, because I think Mo Harkless is a guy who can actually play for the Grizzlies, and maybe you can bring him back on a shorter term, smaller deal that really benefits you, the team, better. Even if it's an $11 million deal, I don't know if that's overpaying for Mo Harkless, probably about a little bit, but still, you know, it's a good contract for a guy that is a good wing player in the NBA. Lucas Han of 213hoops.com joins the show to give us an expert opinion from the Clippers side of things and if they would do that deal.
Hey, what's up, Mark and the Locked On Grizzlies listeners? My name is Lucas Han from ClipsNation.com, soon switching to 213hoops.com. I'm just here to break down a little bit about what my perspective is for a potential Clippers trade for Andre Iguodala for your guys' trade special show. So what we look at with Andre Iguodala on the Grizzlies and kind of the Clippers' interest there is the main difficulty that you run into, like I think the Grizzlies run into with a lot of teams that they would potentially be interested in sending Iggy to, is that $17 million contract, right? So where is the money going to come from any team to make a trade work that still actually makes that team better? Because while Iggy is Iggy and there's a lot that he does to help you on the court, $17 million means that something big has got to be going back to Memphis as well. And Iggy's a little bit older, he's slowing down a little bit, he's coming in the middle of the season after not playing all year, and you sort of wonder, how much do you trust him to come in and be at the level of player that we've seen over the course of his career? He was already definitely slowing down a little bit during the playoffs last season. So the Clippers are maybe in one of the better positions among contenders to make a sort of trade for Andre Iguodala, because what the Clippers have is, currently, they're starting Mo Harkless at power forward. And Harkless, while he's a nice player, 26 years old, energetic, athletic, can kind of defend 1 through 4 on the court, he's not a guy who I personally really trust as a playoff contributor. kind of the story year in and year out with Mo Harkless in Portland was that he would be a solid guy for them all year. He would be a kind of inconsistent and low-volume three-point shooter. And then when the playoffs came around, teams would leave him open and he would brick shots. He would get played off the floor and Portland basically couldn't rely on him. And between him and Alfred Kaminu, that was a big part of a lot of disappointing Portland Trailblazer playoff runs. So I think he's a guy that the Clippers would be open to moving. And he's a guy that personally, I think the Clippers should move before the trade deadline. He's at $11 million this year. So that gets you most of the way to Iggy's contract. The problem, I think, when it comes to a Harkless for Iguodala trade, maybe the Clippers wouldn't do it. Maybe they think, well, we like Mo. He's starting at power forward for us. He's 26. We've got his bird rights. We want to hold on to him instead of going and getting Iggy. But personally, I would rather have Andre Iguodala on the team when, you know, the Clippers have this two-year window with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard to win a championship. I'm going all in with Andre Iguodala if I have a chance to. The problem for me is that the Clippers have other needs, right? So you've got Paul George and Kawhi Leonard on the wing as kind of these superstar two-way elite defensive, elite offensive shooting guard slash small forward types. And so what Iggy brings you as this like steady veteran defender who's going to hit some clutch shots and make smart plays in the playoffs, well, he's playing behind George and Leonard at those positions. Now, there's room for all of them to play together in smaller lineups, similar to what happened with Klay Thompson, Iguodala, and Kevin Durant in Golden State, but they don't need him in the way that some other teams might feel like they need another guy on the wing. What the Clippers do need is they're a little bit weak at point guard. Patrick Beverley's good, but the Clippers could use some more playmaking and kind of more of a floor general type running the offense. And they're a little bit weak at center. Zubats and Montrezl Harrell have both had really strong seasons, but they're both very limited in their own ways. Zubats is only 22 and he's still learning. So the Clippers could really use maybe a guy like Drew Holiday, maybe a guy like Goran Dragic, maybe a guy like Marc Gasol, right? Whoever it is coming in at either point guard or center. And in order to go get one of those high salary guys, that's where that Mo Harkless $11 million deal is going to come in. So that's where I would be, from the Clippers' perspective, reluctant to say that a Harkless for Iguodala deal is likely, because I think the Clippers are going to prioritize using that big expiring contract for Mo Harkless as the centerpiece in a deal that's going to get them a player that will do more for them in the postseason in terms of what that player could bring at an area of weakness for the Clippers. Now, let's say everything falls through and it's the 11th hour and it's on trade deadline day. I could see an Iggy deal coming through for the Clippers. Mo Harkless gets you most of the way there on salary. I think they would include Jerome Robinson, who's been a fairly disappointing second-year guard after being the 13th overall pick in last year's draft. Harkless and Robinson, maybe a second-round pick is probably the deal for Iguodala. I don't see the Clippers giving up Harkless, Robinson, and their 2020 first-round pick for Iguodala. But if there's going to be a deal, I think it would be Harkless, Jerome Robinson, and a second-round pick for Andre Iguodala. Maybe the Grizzlies can get more for Iggy from another team that has maybe a more pressing need on the wing. Maybe the Grizzlies get an asset back from someone else, but also have to take back additional years of salary. I'm not really sure what's on the table around the league. From the Clippers' perspective, I think that's the best that Memphis is going to get. And I think even that probably won't be on the table because the Clippers are going to be active in using that Harkless deal to try to add a bigger piece. Anyway, thanks for having me. Like I said, you can find my work on ClipsNation.com or soon 213hoops.com. And my Twitter is at Lucas J. Han.
Thanks, Lucas. I appreciate you giving us that opinion from the Clippers side of things. It sounds like he's on the same page with us, that it's possibly a deal they would do. It just depends on the money and how everything lines up. Next up on the list is the Rockets. This is a deal that's been talked about a lot out there, or the Rockets as a team, that they try to do 3 and 4 team deals with the Grizzlies, and nothing has really worked out. And it's largely because their asking price, I think, is too high. And it's a difficult one to get done. The Rockets are a difficult team to get done. It's a lot like the Celtics, but it's more like the Jazz in the sense that they just don't have the money. And they're a very top-heavy team, most of the rotation making $8 plus million, and then it drops off significantly. You got 5 or 6 players around the $8 to $10 million or $8 million and up range. And then you go down to a $2 and $3 million range. Like PJ Tucker is the last guy on the rotation making $8 million. Then you drop down to Daniel House at $3 million. So there is a lot. They don't have like those middling contracts of $7 to $8 million of players that aren't really contributing. But like, that's the point of this whole exercise is you constantly see is that there's not a whole lot of guys that people are willing to give up that they aren't really aren't really in the rotation that are making the amount of money that the Grizzlies need them to make this trade work. And the Grizzlies are interested in said prospect as well. So like, there's just so many factors here in getting these deals done in the sense that either money, if the Grizzlies' interest, and if the team's willing to give up picks. That's really the problem is that most of those guys, they're making $12, $13, $14 million. They're in the rotation. And in some cases, they're actually providing value for that team. And so that team has to weigh, do they want to get rid of this player for Andre Iguodala? Does it really help us that much? And that's what the Rockets have to decide, because you'd have to start with PJ Tucker. I think any deal they do would probably start with PJ Tucker. And he's playing an actual rotation minutes for this team. So do they value giving away PJ Tucker plus people? You know, that's not just PJ Tucker. It's PJ Tucker plus other people, and the Grizzlies are probably going to ask for a pick. I don't know if they have a pick to give. I think they have given a lot of picks away. So it's PJ Tucker plus people to get Andre Iguodala. Does that make you better in the long run as a team? And I'm not sure that it makes them a better team in the long run to do that deal for the Grizzlies. If the Rockets want Iggy bad enough, they're going to have some type of 3 or 4 team deal like they've been trying to do to make the money work. And honestly, it's too complex for me to come up with, and so I'm just not going to do it and not try to do it, because there are so many factors that go into a 3 or 4 team deal that just there's too many factors to figure it out to make a sensible deal for everybody to be like, oh yeah, that would work. Everybody would do that, because now you're just adding more groups of people have to agree to this deal, and everybody wants to win the trade. Everybody wants to have the best value coming back, and so you just add more people that have to say yes to it. So for me, I think the Rockets are out. I don't know if the Rockets are going to be a team that really has the financial means or wants to give away the people they want to give away to get Andre Iguodala in return. I just don't know if that's possible for them. But let's talk to JT Gallen of Locked On Rockets. He'll explain it from the Rockets side a little bit better.
Without a doubt, this Rockets club would absolutely love to acquire Andre Iguodala. He would be a huge addition to this team. He's a veteran, a good defender, great playmaker. Any contending team would love to have him. The main issue for this Rockets team, as well as any other contending teams, is Iguodala makes $17 million. It's really tough for current built contenders to aggregate that much salary to be able to bring back Iguodala in any trade variation, which is why earlier this season, the Rockets were rumored to be looking at potential 3 and 4 team trade deals to try and acquire Andre Iguodala. However, Adrian Wojnarowski, ESPN insider, reported that the Rockets have given up on those 3 and 4 team trade permutations to try and acquire Iguodala. The cap gymnastics that would be required to pull off a trade of this magnitude is basically impossible. The only mid-tier salary that the Rockets have that they could potentially move in an Iguodala deal is PJ Tucker. And moving PJ Tucker and parts, because you have to not just move the salary, but you have to move picks or players or future draft compensation or cash considerations. You have to move the actual product that the Grizzlies would want in return for this deal. It doesn't make sense to move that and to move PJ Tucker. Andre Iguodala at this point in his career is not a more vital player than PJ Tucker is. You could maybe make the argument that Andre Iguodala improves the Rockets' chances ever so slightly, but not over PJ Tucker. Andre Iguodala would make sense in a Rockets jersey, but only if you get him for the parts that aren't currently contributing to a potential championship contender. The likes of maybe Gary Clark or Chris Clemens, one of the younger guys on the end of the bench who do have a lot of upside and have shown promise in limited minutes. But it would have to be for guys like that that aren't ready to make an immediate impact on a championship contender. And there's just not a way, unfortunately, for this Rockets club to aggregate enough salary to orchestrate a trade for Andre Iguodala at this point in time.
Thanks, JT. I appreciate it. Again, if you want to listen to more Locked On Rockets, go check out that podcast. He does a great job over there. That's going to be it for part one of this show. Again, if you have not already subscribed, make sure you go do that so you don't miss part two. That'll be coming out very shortly. I won't release them. I'll release them back to back. So you'll see part one and part two both in your podcast feed at the same exact time. But either way, make sure you go subscribe so you don't miss any more shows. Look out for part two coming up next.